For several days after the announcement of Reggie's death a fortnight ago, the tributes continued to arrive, not only from his friends and colleagues in the entertainment world, but also from the fans, those men and women from all over the British Isles and from all walks of life who were united by a love of his music. During the early years, Reg at the Wurlitzer soon became as much a part of Blackpool as the tower itself. But with typical modesty, he could never account for his rise to stardom. As far as he was concerned, his appointment at the Tower came as a lucky break after several years of varying success as a cinema musician, and he simply did the job that was required to the best of his ability. Well, as we all know, that was sufficient to make him undoubtedly the most famous organist in this country and in many other parts of the world as well. When Reg went to Blackpool in 1930, it was not to play the present organ, but a smaller Wurlitzer of 2 manuals and 10 ranks of pipes, which sounded like this. Reginald Dixon at the original Tower Organ in October 1932. Reg's recording output was, to say the least, prolific, with literally hundreds of 78s, 45s and LPs to his credit, many of which reached incredible sales figures, and he was justifiably very proud of his gold disc. For many years, the engineer for Reg's recording sessions was EMI's Stuart Eltham. And although Stuart could probably fill a book with his memories of Reg, one particular incident sticks in his mind.
Well, this was quite some time ago. It was in the days of 78s, when we used to do recording in the middle of summer, in the heights of the season. So it had to be in the evening, with our mobile van parked outside in Bank Hay Street. And it was the last record we were doing, which was a medley. It was a waltz medley. And one of the things Reg was finishing up with was the waltz, 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and actually it was 3 o'clock in the morning when we were doing it. And it was one of those things that Reg got hung up on. And he did an absolute perfect one. And he finished up with the chimes. There's a rack of 12 chimes on the organ playable from the console. And just as Reg was doing the last 3 o'clock in the morning melody on these chimes, one of the rubber buffers fell off with his chimes, just leaving a sort of solenoid bolt, and it hit this chime with a terrible, terrible clang. And Reggie's language was absolutely unbelievable, because we in those days we just couldn't edit it. He had to do the whole thing again, and we dashed up to the organ loft, and I think one of us took our sock off and we put a handkerchief in it and tied it round this chime so it would work properly. But really, I must say, that was the only time after working with Reg and making his records for 35 years, that's the only time I've ever known Reg get a bit annoyed. And, oh, what a charming person to work with. And I shall miss him greatly as an artist and as a friend as well. I really will.
A classic and typical Dixon version of Somebody Stole My Gal, played on the present Tower Ballroom Wurlitzer, which Reg designed and which began its busy life in 1935. It says a lot for the quality of the workmanship which went into the construction of the organ, that even today, although it's being used more than ever, it still sounds magnificent and shows no sign of wearing out. Its enlarged specification and brighter tone was ideal for dance music, and also gave Reg a lot more scope when he was broadcasting or recording. His producer at EMI Records was Bob Barrett, who had this to say about one of his most popular artists.
During 26 years in the record business, I've been lucky enough to produce records with several living legends. in styles as diverse as Harry Mortimer's Men of Brass and Gene Vincent's raw rock and roll. And, of course, Mr. Blackpool was another legend in his own lifetime for whom I had special affection. One of E. Meyer's longest-serving recording stars, I first played a part in Reggie's recording career as Norrie Paramore's assistant in 1962. This was comparatively late in the day, because in the previous 30 years, Reg had cut countless 78s, some for other labels too, and some even under pseudonyms. But by 1962, of course, we were well into the era of tape recording and stereo LPs. We did about an album a year at first, in the Tower Ballroom, then the BBC's Hume Playhouse, and ultimately at Thursford. Looking back, I probably put too much emphasis on light classics at first, because Reg played them so well. But before long, we settled into the medleys of popular oldies, which Reg always made sound like Blackpool, even if it was rarely Manchester or Norfolk. The Blackpool sing-song was particularly memorable. Of course, the Sunday morning audience sang so well, and we had fun in Holland getting to grips with Jaap Keizervaart's magic organ. I shall miss Reg as a perfect gentleman, as well as a superb musician, and have happy memories of tea in his tiny office at the Tower, his spidery handwriting, his nervous cough, and his jaunty air strolling along the quayside at Blakeney, and how he enjoyed playing pool with my children. It was sad when doctor's orders brought Reggie's recording career to a halt, but at least several LPs are still available, with the potential for many more in EMI's archives. It was a privilege to have known him.
Bob Barrett of EMI Records. It was strange how certain pieces of music in Reg's repertoire became particularly popular and were requested over and over again. Like this one, which was re-released a couple of years ago on a compilation LP, the symphonic foxtrot by Karl Robrecht, Samum.
Thank you.
In 1940, Reg had to say farewell to the Tower for 5 years when he signed on with the RAF. And here he is recalling with amusement those first few days after he joined up.
I never forget when I arrived at Uxbridge. In December, I thought, Dixon, you want your brains testing. I arrived in this... Come on, like my lucky boy, his mother's here. Come on, sweep under your beds. 6 o'clock in the morning. Dim light. Then we went to the washroom. Long row of basins. There wasn't a plug in sight. Cold water. I thought, oh dear, why did I do this? There's my car. I went down in a Morris 12. I thought, until I get in the car and desert, I don't think I could have got out again. I hadn't got my uniform then. Then they marched us down about 6:15 on this December morning to the canteen. And of course, we had to wait outside. You couldn't walk straight in. That would never do, would it? So, there's a young fellow sitting just like where you are there, John. And they bring us a... We cool round, they give us a meat pie. And that's a meat pie. A square meat pie. With, I don't know what it was. It looked like mud they were pouring on it. It was gravy. And suddenly I saw this boy, young boy, horrified. There was a dead cockroach on the top of his pie. And they could see go almost green. I said, you know the old music hall story. I said, don't worry. I said, but don't show it to anybody because everybody will want one. the old story. He wasn't amused, of course. I was trying to just make him feel light-hearted, but 6:15 in the morning, I wasn't at my best. But
Reginald Dixon playing our BBC theatre organ here in Manchester, which he used for all his broadcasts after his retirement, and part of which is the organ he originally played when he first went to the Tower. Despite the huge success and adulation which Reg received throughout his career, he basically remained a shy, retiring man, and after a busy day in the ballroom, surrounded by hundreds of adoring fans, there was nothing he liked more than to return home to relax with his family.
Thank you.
Reg was devoted to his wife, Vera, and at his farewell concert at the Tower on Easter Sunday 1970, he included in his programme her favourite tune, which was on the first record they ever bought together, played by Jack Hilton and his orchestra. I Kiss Your Hand, Madame. Reg's association with the BBC was a long and happy one. He was the star of well over 3,000 broadcasts, with various series such as Beside the Seaside, Blackpool Night, Meet Me at the Tower and Sam on Sunday. And at the farewell concert 15 years ago, Reg recalled one of his most requested items, both on the air and at his Sunday concerts.
Thank you very much. I was glancing over some old scripts with my announcements for broadcast over the last few years, and I came across this one. It was dated the 5th of September, 1967, and it goes like this. I'm playing the next item in response to many requests. It's an imaginary scene of my own which takes place off the northwest coast of Scotland. The opening is cheerful with sailors' hornpipes and sea shanties. However, by the time we approach the Isle of Skye, the weather has deteriorated, as you'll hear, and that is when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm at sea.
It's quite impossible in a programme such as this to cover anything more than a few of the highlights of Reg's fascinating career. But I'm sure all of us who knew him will remember him with great affection as a man who had the rare ability to bring warmth and happiness into the hearts of all who heard him play. He had a unique personality which endeared him to his audiences throughout his life, and at the end of all his concerts, everyone was always keen to show him how much they'd appreciated his music by joining in one of his famous sing-songs. Even though Reg is no longer with us, and although he left the Tower Ballroom in 1970, the traditions he established have been continued each year ever since. Firstly by Ernest Broadbent, and then a few years later, a young gentleman called Phil Kelsall appeared at the world-famous console for the first time. Well, as yet another summer season gets underway, I spoke to Phil a couple of weeks ago and asked him about his own personal memories of Reg.
I think I first saw him when I was about 8. Dad used to bring me to the Tower. And it was a Sunday night, always Sunday night. I don't know why, but it was. It was in the Illuminations period, I think, to remember, and the place was absolutely jam-packed.
It's for concert time. This was concert.
Sunday evening concert. And we used to get here about 7:25, and he started at 7:30. And, of course, there wasn't a seat to be had in the place, so we had to sit on the floor, which didn't go down too well at the time. But that was my first impression, and he always used to come up on 7:30 on the dot. He always had, I remember him in a navy blue suit. And I remember the storm, I think, that used to stand out in my mind on the way home, and the crash cymbal. He played how the people wanted him to play. He entertained the people. It was a charisma he had around him, that, like a magic. It's only magic. I think that's the only way to describe it.
And how long have you been playing here yourself now?
Well, 75. It's now 10 years.
Yes. And do you still get a lot of people who come along who remember Reg and who mention Reg to you?
Yes. Hardly a day goes by in the season without somebody asking about him. Is he still playing? Where does he play now? Yeah. Hardly a day goes by. He's still very well remembered.
Well, thank goodness we've got people like you to carry on the tradition. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Present Tower Ballroom organist Phil Kelsall. And I think Phil's own signature tune sums everything up rather nicely.
Thank you.
Thank you for the music indeed. And as we say a final farewell to Mr. Blackpool, the man who truly did become a legend in his own lifetime, I think we can do no better than to leave the final words to someone who worked with Reg many times and who reads for us now his own personal tribute, the scribe of the Grand Order of Water Rats, Charlie Chester.
They called him Mr. Blackpool. It was his destiny to take the organ and the tunes and weave his artistry as only he knew how. And now, among the truly greats, he takes his final bow. Farewell to you, dear Reggie, though you will always be with us beside the seaside, our man of melody. You will remain a symbol with every passing hour of happiness and harmony. You were the Blackpool Tower.